Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay Grange is a teenage grime artist from Chelmsford. Just over a year and a half ago, he was excluded from school, struggled with his mental health and was diagnosed with ADHD. Fast forward to now though, and this 17-year-old is doing what he loves, making music. And that's something that he says has helped him come to terms with his condition. But it's also crucial for his mental state, and that's a message the musician wants to promote far and wide. After getting into trouble when he was younger, he now sees it as his way to give back to children who also struggle to be understood and struggle to cope. Through mentoring sessions that he holds through a charity, and now his music, that's one powerful way of spreading that message. Brought to you by Essex Live, this is Humans of Chelmsford, and this is Jay Grange's story. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, mate.
Thank you so much for joining us and talking about your music. And of course, there's the mental health battles there as well, and a lot of positive messages we're hopefully going to take apart and go through on this episode.
Of course.
We'll start off then with your own sort of past and the things you've dealt with in regards to your mental health, but also your ADHD. So can you start off just by describing to us what you've had to go through and kind of what challenges you've had to face up to?
Well, I was diagnosed with ADHD a couple of years back now, 18 months to be precise. And before that, it was just the constant being misunderstood, not being able to fit in with everyone else because of the problems you have. It was a relief when I found out that I had ADHD because the way I was acting, I knew, well, that's why I was doing it, sort of thing. But up until then, it's very hard. I mean, it was really playing with me, not knowing, just the unknown, really.
Was there a sense that people didn't understand from your point of view that there was something going on in the background?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few people that mentioned it. He might have this, he might have that, like, just saying to me, but they didn't actually know. But apart from that, everyone seemed to just brush it under the carpet. I mean, no one really noticed, or people didn't really understand what was going on with me. People suspected it, but no one actually really knew. Apart from deep down, I knew there was something, because I just weren't acting like everyone else, and it was frustrating in a way, but sometimes you have to get used to it. But it was just frustrating when you could never really do anything right, get misunderstood. And then eventually a doctor from Chelmsford found out.
I mean, so when you're growing up in school as well, and I suppose you're constantly being told to do this differently or do things better, that must grind down on you a lot, particularly when you're at that age as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially, it's almost like in some ways you feel like you're the target a little way. So it does seem that everyone else is sort of, the teacher's not on their case, but they're on your case. I mean, a few teachers said to me you wouldn't amount to anything and all that, but in a way it just spurs me on, you know. I mean, maybe they didn't know. I feel sorry for teachers and schools. I don't think they have enough staff or knowledge about mental health to actually pick up on everyone that has it. So in a way I can't be annoyed with anyone for not understanding me, but it did get frustrating, very frustrating.
And as frustrating as it is, and with all that going on in your head, and I know you've mentioned that in the past it led to you to making wrong decisions and things like that, so I mean, what kind of things are we talking about, and how then essentially did music help you get out of that sort of black hole that you were in?
It was just the standard stuff really, that very common nowadays, just going down the wrong path, getting in trouble with the police a few times. Luckily I grew out of it and thought, well, I need to change here, and that's where music come along, because I thought I can't keep living like this, because it's only going to end one way. As soon as I recorded some songs and that, I just found a love for it. I thought, this is what I want to do, and I just want my music to make everyone else happy, because it's quite an upbeat vibe, sort of like a pop rap sort of style, club sort of vibe, so everyone just have a good time really, nothing too serious, just enjoy it. And yeah, it just made me enjoy my life a lot more as well.
Was there any sort of defining moment or key moment that made you think, right, enough is enough, time to change the direction I'm going in?
Yeah, it was actually when I went to court, and I thought, I stood in there and I thought, I need to change, because I don't want to live this life. I want to do something that's going to make me successful and that. I think it was seeing my family very disappointed with me as well. My mum always crying. My family was very supportive. So they was a part to play for me to change my life. There was times where they didn't give up on me, but said, enough's enough. But they were a big part to me changing as well.
It shows just how important your friends and family,
of course, yeah,
are in terms of changing your ways. It's not just for you then, it's for everyone else around you as
well. Of course. If you've got a supportive family, or if you're someone who's in the wrong place at the moment or doing the wrong things, or make sure you talk to your family. I know certain people have difficulty talking to their family, or they might have family issues, but always know that your family still love you, and they're always going to help you whatever happens, but you've got to trust them.
Turning to music now, and you mentioned there about wanting people to have fun, and that, you know, your music's upbeat, yeah, and that sort of thing. It's essentially an escapism, is having music and taking you away from your troubles. Before you actually started making music yourself, is that what you use music for, is to kind of escape from all those problems, even if it's just listening to other artists?
Yeah, definitely, because I mean, there's certain artists called Post Malone and Tiger, a lot of American artists that I listened to, and once I listened to them I felt quite inspired. There's a song by Post Malone called Congratulations, and the lyrics he's using now I think are very inspiring. Great guy, great lyrics, and when I listened to that song I thought, it's just, it made me go cold. It's quite inspirational. So I thought, I want to do my own music, I want to be like that, I want to people to feel that way when listening to me. Even if it's a couple people, they're still fans, they're still people enjoying my music.
Is there a lot of those inspirations then, I suppose, you've taken now and looking to put the same sort of message in your lyrics?
Yeah, my songs are not necessarily directed about mental health. The lyrics aren't about mental health. I have got a few songs that I'm going to release about mental health, but they're mainly, like you said, they're just upbeat. They're upbeat, so people should have a good time listening to them. And I want, if people are feeling down, I want my songs to just make them think, this guy, he's come from a place that I am, and I can do anything with my life if other people can change it.
How is your mental health now then, now that you've got sort of a path and something to aspire to?
Obviously, if you've got mental health, it doesn't go in a way, it can be reduced. You can, obviously I still have flashbacks here and there, and I still have my bad days. But you think, even with my music, some days I think I don't want to do it anymore. You get a bit paranoid about, well, what other people might think about your music. But then if that, as soon as that goes out of my head, I think, nah, I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to, as long as people are happy, then listening to my music, then I'm happy.
that's what I've always said about sort of mental health as well. If you've had it, it's not so much it goes away, it's that you become better at managing it and not letting it overpower you.
Yeah, definitely. Once you know about yourself more as well, you can almost sort of control it. You think, well, actually, this is how my body functions, or this is how my brain functions. This is how I'm going to present myself and try and ignore the mental health. Because in a way, mental health is, it can actually help. I mean, my ADHD has definitely helped with my music, the creativity side of things. You can use it to an advantage, mental health. It's not just a demon against you that's trying to bring you down. You can actually use it as a positive way. I mean, everyone that has mental health is very special in their own way. It's, don't ever think you're different to anyone else, or you, because you have mental health, you can be described as someone that needs special needs or something. You're the same as everyone else. It's just your brain functions differently to others, like mine does. So you can put your mind to anything you want to do and go and do it, because, and don't let anyone stop you.
It's a large part of that, accepting yourself as well for who you are.
Definitely. I know a lot of people that have got mental health and they're very down about it, but they're great people and they don't know how great they are, and it gets them down. They think, well, I've got mental health, I'm a failure and all this, but you shouldn't. That's not the way to look at mental health, because if you have mental health, you're a very special person. Like I just said, your brain just functions differently to other people. Don't ever let it get you down. Use it as a positive and work around it and put anything your mind to. Like I said, go and do it.
And bearing those messages in mind, is that partly why you felt it was so important to go into the mentoring side of things? Because that is also what you spend some of your time doing now as well.
Yeah, I do a bit of mentoring here and there for a great charity in Enfield. When I'm in London, I go down there. Great team there. They're really good. Great success rate. I help kids that have been in gangs take drugs. The charity itself works with domestic violence and stuff like that. I don't work with that, but I got into mentoring because I thought I want to give my experience, because I did have it really tough. I know everyone says they've all got their own judgment of something, but I know that I really did have it tough. And I get into mentoring because I just want to help other people, because it's something really close to my heart. If I help someone, I will feel proud of myself, and also my mental health will get better as well, because I know that I've helped someone. Something that I want to talk about is, I believe that someone like myself, or someone that's going through something like ADHD or any type of mental health, should go into schools and talk to the children that have ADHD and mental health, because people can relate to people like them. So with my artist website that I'm in the middle of creating now, I want to offer a service very soon about me going into schools or different types of educations, colleges, and having a chat to people about it, because if you relate to something, you most likely listen to people more.
So I was going to say, arguably the messenger is just as important as the message,
of course,
rather than, you know, someone who's read a book. You've been there firsthand.
Definitely, yeah. When you've experienced something, you've got the knowledge of it. I mean, people that haven't experienced something, they can just use facts or statistics. They can't actually use their own judgment and actually know the right things to say, because I hear a lot of stuff that people say to people that, having mental health myself, it's very, very forward. People that have mental health don't want to just be told to talk. They don't want to just be like, well, you can talk to me, because if people with mental health, a lot of people can't talk to people, and by saying that, it's then going to make them feel worse, because now they can't talk to people. So you have to have the knowledge, I believe, and I really want to help a lot of the behavioural school that I went to called Heybridge last year or a couple of years ago. They have invited me in to do at their end of year awards next year. They've invited me in to do that, to have a talk to the kids, because obviously they're something close to my heart and have experienced what I've experienced. So it all comes down to having the knowledge of something that's happened to you, because if you don't, I don't believe you can help someone. That's just my opinion.
Which is a large part of why your music is the way it is as well, because I imagine it's drawing on those personal experiences all over again and it putting out those messages.
Yeah, this, when I do music, it's when I'm listening to my music, I get quite, I'm quite proud because where I come from. I mean, don't get me wrong, my music can really improve. I can really take it up a few levels. I'm just getting started. It's very good. I've got a great producer who's worked with some very top artists, Jess Glynn, Develop Her, Emily Sande. He's worked with a French artist called Zifu. He's a very good guy. I've got a good team around me that give me opportunities like this. And I just think that if I can do it, other people in mental health can do it.
Do we fully understand mental health yet, or is it still taking some time for that message to be put out there and properly understood by people who, I suppose, ultimately make the decisions about where services might go, where health assistance might go and things like that? But even from a basic level, whether it's family who might have a child who's going through stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I believe we do understand mental health a little bit now. I see a lot more people talking about it, but I don't believe at the moment, just yet, that people know what to say to people with mental health and how to help them exactly, because I see a lot of this stuff that I think that isn't helping someone. You need it's all about talking. If you can talk to someone, then, but someone you trust, because you wouldn't just talk to anyone. I believe that certain messages as well from people that deal with mental health are wrong as well. I mean, I think a lot more money should be pumped into mental health services before police forces, because if you take away the mental health aspect of things, a lot of crime will be solved as well, I believe, because I know when my mental health got better, I started going down the right path, whereas if it hadn't of, I probably would have been inside or wherever. I think there's a big connection between the mental health side of things and making the wrong choices in life, because no one wakes up and thinks, I'm going to do this, especially in school. It's a lot of understanding. You have to understand people to know why they do something, because I hear a lot of teachers say, and this isn't me moaning at teachers, I've got respect for all my teachers, but I believe that when teachers say, oh, you don't know what I've experienced today, or I think that's sometimes a little bit degrading to pupils that most likely do have something going on at home very badly about their mental health. A lot of people with mental health get in trouble at school as well. It's a common denominator. And I believe it's because teachers and other people working within the school don't know what actually goes on behind closed doors, and it's quick to judge someone or say they're a naughty kid or label them the troublemaker of the class or the one with the bad reputation. But to be fair, I wouldn't have changed my behaviour at school for anything, because I am where I am today, and everything happens for a reason. And I believe if you're misbehaving at school, it's not because you choose to misbehave at school, it's because there's just something with your brain that you can't function properly to behave or make the right choices. So I think the label of naughty kids and bad reputation or one of the worst children in the class or whatever you want to label, I think that needs to stop, because 99% of the time there's a reason behind it.
There's always a deeper meaning behind it.
Yeah, definitely deeper reason behind, because no one goes into school one day or even in work or wherever and goes, I'm going to do this today or I'm going to do this today. There's a reason behind it. There is a reason behind it. And I want people, especially teachers, I'm not saying anything disrespectful to teachers here, but I think they need to understand mental health a lot more. And I think that's why I want to, and people like me should come into schools and do assemblies and talk about it, because real recognise real is the saying.
Exactly. And I mean, doing this job for as long as I've done this job now, and that's one of the key messages that's come out to me, not just in terms of helping to bring down crime and stuff like that, but mental health has deeper ripple effects. If you look at homelessness, for example, a lot of people have ended up on the street because somewhere in their past something has gone horribly, horribly wrong, and they've had to go through something horrific that no one else would imagine going through.
It all comes down to that. It comes down to a lot of these, a lot of certain circumstances you see. Homeless people, for example, like you just mentioned, it's either that, that because of mental health, or they've never had the support there to actually change their life. No one's ever had the courage to go up to them and say, look mate, you're a great person, you can change your life. They've never had that support behind them, so that's all they've known. Luckily, I've, due to my psychiatrist and my family around me, that I've realised that having mental health isn't nothing bad, and you shouldn't think because you have it that you're different. But yeah, like you said, a lot of that sort of thing comes down to just the making wrong choices, comes down to mental health a lot of the time, because you've just never had the support, the family around you, or your brain just hasn't allowed you to. And that's nothing bad. It's all about just focusing your mind on something that you enjoy doing, or even just helping other people. Because people that have mental health, have been through a lot, are always the people that are the kindest and will always talk to anyone because they've experienced something. You know, there's a saying, you glow through what you go through, I think it is. You, once you've experienced something, you can look up and change it.
But then going on to the music side specifically now, and considering you're still so young as well, I mean, you're only 17 at the moment. One track is out on YouTube. There's another track coming tonight as we record. There seems to be a lot of momentum suddenly building in your favour. So what are kind of the aims? What's the targets here?
My targets with music are to keep producing good standard music. Hopefully get signed in the next few years, because it's not a short process. A lot of hard work and courage needs to go into it. But my ultimate game is to get signed, work on a few more projects. Like you said, I've got a track coming out tonight on Link Up TV at 6 o'clock. Just music for everyone to enjoy, really, is my ultimate aim, and to understand that if you've got mental health or whatever, you can change your life in an instant by doing stuff you enjoy.
How is your relationship with the music industry as well? Because I think back to a previous guest on this podcast, it was Katie Jackson, who's the lead singer of a rock band, Tigress, and she's a female lead singer in a rock band as well, which was part of our whole conversation. But she said she loved and hated the music industry in equal measure. Have you reached that point where the frustrations can get down you, but ultimately you're there for the love of it?
Of course, the music industry is like the showbiz industry. It's a tough industry to get in. It's not what you know, it's who you know. You do get a lot of knockbacks, people not believing in your music, but for every 10 haters you have 100 fans or 100 people that like your music. It's just the way it goes. I was looking at a top song the other day by one of my favourite artists, and I looked at the amount of dislikes and it was over 10,000, but they had over 500,000 likes. So you're always going to get fans, you're always going to get haters, but you do get knockbacks. But you have to, it's like mental health, what I've experienced with mental health, you have to just push through it. You have to know that, okay, well, maybe I do need to maybe make my music sound a bit different, or yeah, but you do get a lot of knockbacks. So you've just got to push through it and understand that not everyone's going to like your music, but that's just where it is. Not everyone's going to like you in life, but some people are going to love you. It's just keep doing your thing and don't let anyone bring you down. Or
how hard is that to keep doing your thing? Because I imagine people will keep giving you, obviously feedback is helpful, but then do you still want to stick to what feels right to you as well?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the music industry, sticking your authenticity is key. I mean, don't change your music because you might get a few bad comments or you might get a load of dislikes. I mean, just do your thing, and because you'll always get, like I just said, you'll get more fans than haters. You'll get more people love your music than hate it. But it all comes down to your self-belief. Again, it relates back to mental health. If you believe in yourself, you can do some good things in life. You can achieve some great stuff. But if you don't, then nothing's going to happen. So, yeah.
And one side point I take from that as well, it's something I've spoken to quite a few guests about, both on this podcast and my other podcast, is obviously when you're just starting out, as you are in the music business, social media is a massive player in getting people to hear your stuff. But then social media also has the flip side, in that you can have the haters, you can have the trolls coming out left, right, and center. Do you also have to be careful not to fully immerse yourself in that world so that it kind of takes over?
I mean, I always believe if you put something online, then it's there for the world to see. It isn't leaving online. That's your choice. I mean, people are always going to hate. Hate normally comes from jealousy or people that want to be in your shoes. But then you get people that are just giving constructive criticism and they just don't like your music. But at least they can say to you, I'm not a fan of this, but you can improve on this. And that's the sort of thing that I love. But you do get, if you put something online, social media, you are going to get fake accounts or even people who just don't like you, dislike your tracks or dislike you or just take fun at whatever you're going to do. But that's just something you have to deal with. I mean, if you want to get into an industry like music or sport or showbiz, you're always going to have haters, but you're always going to have people that really love you and really admire what you're doing.
And that must be the rewarding side of things when people come.
That's the rewarding side, yeah. I mean, the other day I put my new song preview out and I got loads of great feedback, like, this is amazing or this is hard, my G, and all stuff like that, you know, from my guys. But I also got someone say this is cringy, but the funny thing is that people are quick to judge because this person who I'm not going to name, actually in her Instagram bio, she actually has some fundraising stuff. So actually she has mental health herself. She works for a mental health charity. So it all comes down to sometimes people are quick to judge as well. I mean, if she had knew maybe what I was doing, she wouldn't be so forward on it. But you're always going to have, like I said, people that love your music and people that hate it, but you just gotta ignore that.
Exactly. For anyone who might be interested in keeping tabs on your music and your career, where can they go and find all that information?
At the moment I'm just about working on a website, an artist website. Obviously it will be called Jay Grange. My Instagram's Jay Grange. I've got a good following on there. I haven't got Twitter or Facebook. I'm in the middle of doing that now, in a process. You can find me on YouTube. My music will be on some rap channels very soon. Spotify, Jay Grange, Apple Music, iTunes, Tidal, Deezer, all of them, I'm on there. If you like my music, just support me, really. The message to everyone out there is just, if you've got something in life that you want to do, whether it be building or plumbing or football, sport, whatever, just do it and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Anyone that wants to get into the music, be authentic. Don't write lyrics that you think people are going to like. Just think what's in your head or what you actually want to write about. Because at the end of the day, people love people who are real. Not many people listen to people that are not talking sense in a way. But yeah, that's just the thing with music. If you've got a dream for it, just go for it.
Like I say, it's that authenticity, but also behind that authenticity is you, the person.
Of course,
that I think,
yeah,
people can connect with.
It all comes down to if people like you as well. I mean, people can like your music, but not like you as a person. I mean, I know top rappers that are hated, but people still listen to their music. It's just, if you're producing good things, then you get good rewards come back to you. It's all down to authenticity, what you enjoy, your passion. And you need people that believe in you, because it can get disheartening when you do get bad comments or people you feel don't believe in you. Like with my mental health, I don't believe the people around me believed in me. Not many people, but you've just got to think, well, actually, there might be a reason for that, or they just don't understand me. So it relates. People just might not understand your music, or it all comes down to the same thing.
Exactly. And my final question then, before I wrap up this particular episode of the podcast, quite a big question as well, so apologies in advance. What do you think is the key lesson, the biggest lesson you've taken for yourself through everything you've been to up until this point?
The choices I made, some things I did to a few teachers, the things I said, sort of crime, stuff like that, that I was getting myself into, all stuff like that, made me think, oh, I need to change here. Yeah, that's a big question. Big question, mate. Yeah, mainly just the choices I've made. I can't really go into too much detail, but I don't regret it because it's made me to where I am today. But obviously, it's not the route I wanted to take before I certainly found out that I had mental health or why I'd been acting like that. But my last thing to say really is anyone out there that has got mental health, depression, anxiety, ADHD, whatever it is, it's a big spectrum, there's loads of things, make sure that never let people get into your head, or always feel what's good for you, do what's good for you. There's always someone out there for you as well, even if you don't believe it. If you think that something in your life's going wrong or you could change, do it. Don't let people, if someone says to you, no, don't do that, but you want to do it, just go with it, because it will all, everything happens for a reason and it will all come back to put you in a good place. If you've got mental health, never believe that no one's there for you, and whatever you want to do, just go for it, because you only live once as well. That's the thing I always say. If you had a few more lives, you'd probably think, well, let's just have fun this life, you know what I mean, let's just get in trouble. I mean, but you only got one life, so you can't waste it. That's just my big message. I just think, I hope everyone listening to this podcast understands what I'm saying about that. And yeah, just never give up on yourself. Or if you're someone listening to this podcast that has a child that's got mental health, or has a brother that's got mental health, or a friend or a girlfriend, boy, whatever you want to say, make sure that you speak to them and say, are you all right? Because feelings are, especially in this day and age, everyone wants to put on the front. I'm good, my life's cushy, you know what I mean? But it's not always cushy. It's not always as lavish as people make out. So just talk to people. Talking's the best thing to do, but within reason. Just make sure that everyone around you's in a good place. And if you suspect anything, don't be too straight up about it, but try talking to the person. Yeah, just make sure that everyone around you's good. And just like I said in my interview that I did last week, just go and conquer the world. Just do what you want to do. It'll all come out to amount to something.
Conquer the world. Perfect message for everyone on this podcast.
Conquer the world.
And with that, that's a perfect place to end. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. And of course, I'll put some links to your YouTube channel in particular in the show notes, so everyone can find it there.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
And best of luck with everything, and likewise with the mentoring, because like I said, there's a lot of important messages to take, and there's something very important to be said for it coming from someone like you who's actually gone through it and have lived in that position yourself.
Of course, people like me, like I said before, should be talking to people like me in schools or wherever, and really get the message across, because real recognise real.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Humans of Chelmsford, which is the final episode in this current series. You can find all of our previous episodes in this series and even further back on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on the Essex Live website. Don't forget, we also still have our social media pages on Twitter and Facebook, where you can keep an eye on the show and its updates. If you feel like you have a story to tell on this podcast, then just get in touch through there. That's it from us this week, listeners. The podcast will be back in the near future.